Thank you, Lord, for this day. We praise you. We give you glory. We praise you. We give you all of our hearts this morning, all of our bodies, all of our souls, Lord Jesus. Mm-hmm. We come before you with singing. We come before you, God, with our hearts full of joy and peace. Lord, everything that you provided for us this Christmas season, we receive it this morning by the Holy Spirit, Lord. Bring your peace. Bring your joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength, Lord Jesus. We just pray for everyone here this morning, God. We pray a healing grace over our bodies, over our voices, over our tiredness, Lord, of the season. God, we pray that we would walk by your Holy Spirit, that we would receive your energy. We would receive from you this morning all that we need, Lord, to go forward, all that we need to love each other as you have loved us, Lord God. We just pray, Holy Spirit, come with an anointing. Come with an anointing. We are a people in need. We need you, Lord God. We need you. And we pray for all those who couldn't make it this morning. For whatever reason, Lord, we pray, visit them. Minister to them where they are. Heal their bodies, God. Heal their hearts. Heal their souls. Lord, give them the joy of the Lord for this coming week, we pray. And we just want to give you glory and praise your name. And everybody said, amen.
Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Thank you, Jesus. God is good. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Grace, you want to come on down? Let's take up an offering. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We have cookies back there. If anybody wants any cookies, help themselves. I think they're already being helped, so thank you, Jesus. Julia and Grace and Stella? No, Grace? Julia and Stella? Julia and Stella made those cookies. They're delicious. What's that? And Lizzie. In the middle of the night when the stove died. What's that? Making them at night. Father, I thank you, Lord, and praise you for this tithe and offering that you're bringing into this house. I pray that you would bless those that are giving, Lord God, that you would prosper them, and that they would be in good health. I pray, Lord God, that you would bless their finances, Lord God, and increase in them, Lord God, mightily. Lord God. And I pray, Father God, that, Lord Jesus, as we give unto you with a whole heart. And we're thankful, Lord God, that you have, Lord God, given to us so much. And especially this time of year, Lord, we're so thankful. We should be thankful all the time and be joyful, as my wife sang and said up here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Wow, we only have 2.5 weeks till Christmas. Isn't that crazy? 2.5 weeks till Christmas. And our youngest granddaughter said to us just yesterday that she only has 1 week left of college internship. And then she's fully graduated as a bachelor. Amen. So, hey, congratulations, Stella. Praise God. We have just a great family, and all of our kids are just so blessed, and we're just blessed by great grandkids and great grandkids and just a great family. We are so blessed. I'm thankful for each one of them. And I know that God has a mighty call on their lives. Amen? Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, he says, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do everything for the glory of God. Everything for the glory of God. That's your work. That's your home. That's your family life. That's your relationships. That's everything you do it for the glory of God. And if we could just remember that, to do everything for that, for God's glory and not our own, that would be a miracle for me. But it's true. In all you do, whatever you do, whether you're a landscaper, a lawyer, a businessman, a minister, a student, a teacher, a carpenter, a wife or a mother, or a grandmother or great-grandmother, do it all for the glory of God. Everything. God has put you in that place for a reason. And God has a call on your life. You know, many lives, our lives would be changed. And our mindsets would be different if we really did that. If in everything we do, we really did that. All to the glory and the purpose of God. To do nothing to the glory of God. To do everything to the glory of God. To live with that mindset where God is the ultimate purpose for everything. Can you imagine moving in that realm where God is the ultimate purpose in everything? If all your motives of your heart were not on yourself or on selfish gain or on others but on God? Transforming ordinary tasks like working or helping others into acts of worship. What is true worship? He says worshipers were spirit and truth. What is that saying? I'm getting it all mixed up, hon. You know it. True worshipers will worship in spirit and in truth. Acknowledging His presence wherever we go, obeying His will, I can't read my own writing. Obeying His will, serving others, reflecting in His character rather than living for ourselves and our self-gain. It's about seeing as God sees. It's about doing everything as how God would have it done. Living to honor Him, making Him the focus, no matter how big or small every moment is. This takes discipline. This takes diligence on our part. This takes binding the mind, binding the enemy over the mind, casting out demons, rebuking them from even getting in the mind so we can have the mindset of Christ Jesus. You know, I've said this many times in here, when we worship God and we praise and worship Him, we are being examples to our children by raising our arms. By standing in worship, by praising them. Our children will praise and worship. Little Landon's praising and worshiping right now. Amen? But you imprint on them. Can you imagine if we started imprinting like this in our lives, in our generations, in our children's lives? That's how it should be as Christians. as lovers of God and not lovers of self? Do we show Christ in our actions and ways? And do our wills align with Christ's wills? Do we obey Him? Do we honor Him? Do we give Him the glory? Do we see Christ in everyone? You know, Pastor Tom would say that all the time. He goes, I don't see Chris. I see Christ in Chris. I see Christ. I don't see Stella. I see Christ. I don't see Lizzie. I see Christ. I don't see Julia or Julie or Joy or Ephraim. And I can go on and on and on, but I see Christ in them. That's what God sees in us. He sees Christ in us. And that's who we represent as Christians. We're ambassadors of the kingdom. Have you ever thought of yourself as an ambassador for Christ? Because if you call yourself a Christian, you are an ambassador for Christ. You represent the kingdom here on earth, wherever you go. Now, am I perfect? Are we perfect? No. But that's where God's grace is sufficient. That's where God's grace comes in play. I need the grace of God a lot in my life because I make a lot of mistakes. That's no new news. I didn't see any head shake. No, you don't, Grandpa. No, you don't. No, you don't, Dad. No. They're all in agreement because they know that I'm born in sin, live in sin, and there's sin all around us. Amen? And we got to rebuke it. No one's perfect except for Christ Himself. But we represent a perfect kingdom. And when we make mistakes, we can go to God and we can ask for forgiveness and repentance. And some that might be harder than others to ask for forgiveness for. But God knows the heart, and He sees the heart. Do we show Christ in everything we do in our actions? Do we exemplify Christ's life here in this world, or do we exemplify our own lives? These are things that we need to inspect in our own beings. And when we find fault, give it to God. Give it to God. Say, God, here I am. Use me. Take me. Use me as I am. Forgive me for my failures. Help me not to do them again. And if I'm a repeat offender, then Lord God, do what you need to do to get me right with you. Because that's the most important thing, is to be in right standing with God. I can think of many times in my life where I don't represent Christ as I should, in my talk, in my deeds. And I regret some of those things, and we shouldn't live with regrets. But we should learn. You know, it's like a learning thing in life. When you go through life, we have those situations where we learn from our mistakes. Right? What does it say? Fool me once, shame. Fool me twice, shame on me. You know, I don't know the saying, but I'm terrible with sayings, to be honest with you. And jokes. Don't ever tell me to tell anybody a joke. I am terrible with jokes. Sayings. But yes, many times we want to be recognized for the things we've done. We want to take the glory. We want to shift the focus from God to us. But when we do, we need to catch ourselves quickly because the glory is the Lord's. We must remind ourselves that God is the source of all of our own abilities. God is the source of our own abilities and our blessings. And without Him, nothing is possible. Without God, nothing is possible. Without God, this world wouldn't be created. Without God, You know, we wouldn't have land separated by oceans. We wouldn't have an atmosphere. We wouldn't have a planet. And my grandson Ephraim is better at this than I am. Place perfectly in, what do they call it? The habitable zone. Is that correct? In the habitable zone. Habitable zone. God did all of that. And he created each one of us different. And then you know what God also did in us? He gave us a free will so that we can choose. We can choose him, or we can choose ourselves or the world ways. The world says anybody that loves the world is an enemy of God. So we need to be careful of that. Because there is a lot of good things in this world that God has put, but we should never love the world more than we love God. God is our source. He is our blessings. And without God, none of this is possible. John 15, 1 through 8. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Every branch in me that does not produce fruit, he removes and he prunes. Every branch that produces fruit, so that it will produce more fruit. He prunes every branch that produces fruit so that it will produce more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me and I in you, just as a branch is unable to produce fruit by itself. It is useless. It remains on the vine. Neither can you unless you remain in me. Let me read that again. Remain in me and I in you. Just as a branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains on the vine. Neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit, because you cannot do nothing without me. Period. Highlighted that. We can do nothing without Christ. If anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown aside like a branch and he withers. They gather them, throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you want and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you produce much fruit and prove to be my disciples. That's what God wants us to do. Bear much fruit so that we prove to be his disciples and not of the world. And that's why we need to remain in God, remain in the vine, attached. You know, if you were to cut a branch off a tree, immediately that life of that branch dies. Because it's got to have the living nutrients from the trunk, from the source, which supplies that branch with life, which produces the fruit. Have you ever looked at a tree and noticed that the trunk itself doesn't actually produce the fruit, but it's the branch that grows off the trunk that produces the fruit? And when God prunes us, and he prunes those branches, just like I got to prune these fruit trees coming up here in March, you produce those so they produce more fruit and better fruit, healthier looking fruit. We need to remain in Christ Jesus, because without him, we can do nothing. If we are disattached from the vine, it says in the Bible, that what do they do with the branches? Like when they go out to a vineyard, you can go out and look. Even this time of year, they're probably pruning the grapevines, or soon they will be pruning them early spring, late winter. What do? They prune all the vines off, and they took the old vines, and they put them in a pile, right? And they gather them all up, and they burn them. They take them and they burn them, but they make a big old pile. Immediately when those vines are cut off the branch or the vine, or the branch is cut off the vine or the trunk, It starts to die. It starts to wither up and die. That's what happens with our lives when we walk away from Christ Jesus, when we get away from the Word, when we get away from prayer, you know. And there might be a day when this Word might not be here anymore. There might be a day when they confiscate all our Bibles. You know, what do they call it? Guns and Bibles. Well, they might want to take them. That's why God says we need to hide the Word in our hearts. Hide it. So we have it in our hearts. So we will not depart from the vine. So we have that in our hearts. When you get something in your heart and you remember it, it's like memorizing scripture. When you memorize it and you get it there, it's like a tool for you to use against the enemy in the world and against the temptations of the world, and it covers your mind. You know, let this mind be in me that's in Christ Jesus. I plead the blood. We need to plead the blood every day over our minds. You know, I'm doing it, hon. I'm rubbing my head. Plead the mind of Jesus, the blood of Jesus over this mind. And this mind that's in me would be in Christ Jesus. Don't let the world tempt me and trick me and pull me away from Christ. Don't let them pull me away from the things that Christ has done for us. Amen. I like how Solomon does it in Ecclesiastes. What he says. Now I want to close with this. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 18 through 26. Where am I? It's called the emptiness of work. I hated all my work that I labored in under the sun. I hated all my work that I labored at under the sun, because I must leave it to the one who comes after me. And who knows whether he will be wise or a fool? Yet he will take over all my work that I labored at skillfully under the sun. This too is futile. So I began to give myself over to despair concerning all my work that I had labored at under the sun. When there is a person whose work was done with wisdom, knowledge, skill, and he must give his portion to a person who has not worked for it, this too is futile and a great wrong. For what does a person get with all of his work and all of his efforts that he labors at under the sun? For all his days are filled with grief, and his occupation is sorrowful. Even at night his mind does not rest. This too is futile. There is nothing better for a person than to eat, drink, and enjoy his work. I have seen that even this is from God's hand, because who can eat and who can enjoy life apart from him? Did you hear what he just said right there? Who can eat, who can drink, and who can enjoy life apart from God? Apart from him, who he's talking about. Our work, when we work unto the Lord, we take joy in it. We take joy that we're pleasing him and not the world. It has more meaning. And that gives us joy. When you work for the world, there is no rest. The world will, there's always something better, there's always something greater out there. There's always a new version of this, there's always an upgrade, there's always something that's moving forward. And we're coming to a time in life where our world is going to change dramatically fast. You know, I've sat there and pondered this the other night and thought, how different the world looks already from when I was a kid to how different the world is going to look from when my grandkids, you kids, and your kids It'll look so different. You know, there'll be a time when we won't have cars that just drive on the ground anymore. That'll be of the past. Just like horses became of the past, and we all had motor vehicles. Our motor vehicles are going to be personal planes. Things are changing dramatically in this world. It's not going to be the same. AI is, who knows what AI says. It's already surpasses man. And you know, it's like when the military, when I was in the service, they would tell us of things that the military has. And by the time they probably told us things, they have things that are 10 times greater than what they've told us. Because they keep things in secret all the time. And we really don't know how far out AI has taken us. So it's a pretty scary world out there. And to think about the future of our children and grandchildren is pretty scary in itself. For to the person who is pleasing in his sight, he gives wisdom, knowledge, and joy. For to the person who is pleasing in God's sight, he gives wisdom, knowledge, and joy. But to the sinner, he gives the task of gathering and accumulating in order to give it to the one who is pleasing in God's sight. This too is futile and a pursuit of the wind. Just think of all the things we work through throughout our lives. Our lives, Solomon said this before, is like a flower that blooms one day and withers the next. Our lives are short. Everything we work for, somebody else is going to take over. We're going to give it to somebody else eventually. Somebody else is going to be ownership of this hill, of this property up here, at some point in time. Unless God returns, and hopefully he does, and we all go with him. But it's all futile chasing of the wind. That's why when we do things, we do things unto the glory of God, giving God the glory. When we do that, God is going to give us joy in our work, in what we're doing. God is going to give us pleasure in what we do and how we do it. And for some of you young ones out there that are starting careers, you know, think about that. Think about each day, and even myself, reminding myself that To God be the glory. I want to be a wise. I want to have wisdom. I want to have knowledge, and I want to have joy. Right? For to this person is pleasing in the sight of God. And when God does, when we give things to God, because he's given us so much, you know, God imparts to us wisdom. He imparts to us knowledge. He gives us joy in what we do. We take joy in those things, knowing that we're just stewards of them. We're just stewards. This world is not our home. Heaven is our home. The kingdom of God is our home. Amen. So, Father, I just pray, Lord God, that, Lord, that you would bless this day. That, Lord God, that our days would be filled with joy. Lord God, that we would give you the glory in our work, that we would lift you up and praise you, that, Lord God, that, Lord, to you would give all the glory, and apart from you, we can do nothing. Lord God, Lord Jesus, help us to think eternally minded. Help me to think eternally minded, Lord God. Help those that hear me think eternally minded, I pray. Father God, for them, and I just pray, Lord God, that this was a pretty confusing sermon today or message. I pray that, Lord God, that you would sort things all out in our minds, that, Lord, you would give us what we need, Lord God, to hear, and Lord God, and that, Lord, that you would help us to understand. I pray for your wisdom and your knowledge and your blessings on your people today as we leave from here. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If anybody would like prayer, I would love to pray for them. Amen.